Welcome back to NLP's Young Professionals Network podcast, Growing in the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professional Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your hosts of today's episode include myself, Miles Caparis from Include Software, Brett Lemke from RM Landscape, Luke Malangrano from Mariani Landscape, and Macy Wallenberg from Landcare. How's it going today, crew?
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Sorry, I missed last week.
That's all right. I had it. I've now experienced doing the opening, and it's a lot of credit. It's a lot to say and a lot to remember. And good. You know, I feel your pain, and now I'm ready, Miles. If you need a backup, Macy, you've done it. Luke, have you done the intro yet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, you're next.
There's some pressure there. You're definitely next. Some pressure.
Yep, you're on next.
A week or two ago, Brett, you were solo, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm going pro. I think this is my new calling.
You're ready to venture out onto your own and start the Lemke podcast.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull who is the famous singer that just says, I think I'm Justin Timberlake. I'm gonna pull a Justin Timberlake on you all. I'm just gonna go do the solo career. So see ya.
He's in been sync, pretty no successful, more. You know.
Yeah. So,
right? Yeah, I might work out for you.
I'm in.
I'll get my lawyers ready though. You know.
Not at all. I missed y'all. And we have a really cool guest today. Let me do the intro. Beth Berry, is a seasoned green industry executive with more than two decades of experience leading marketing, sales, business development, partner integration, and customer support teams. Beth's passion for helping lawn care operators grow their businesses and delivering best-in-class innovative products and to the turf and ornamental industry has led her to the most recent role as vice president of turf and ornamental sales at Advanced Turf Solutions. Beth is a widely recognized industry advocate, helping lead the Lawn Care Essentials Initiative in 2020. That is a key resource for the state regulatory compliance issues. Most recently, Beth was vice president of growth and alliance for Real Green Software, where she managed enterprise accounts and strategic partnerships for the green industry software company. Prior to Real Green, Beth was the director of customer service for Scotts Miracle-Gro. And Beth serves on boards of Project Evergreens. She serves the leadership teams for several associations, including the National Pest Management Association and the National Association of Landscape Professionals under the Women in Network and Membership. She also is a member of the National Speaker Association. And in 2020, Beth was named one of the top 50 women leaders in the SAAS by the Software Report. She's a frequent industry speaker, and in 2020, we'll be hosting a weekly show for Turf Up Radio, focused on innovation in the green industry. Welcome, Beth.
Hey, you guys. This is so nice to be here today.
Now with your part that Turf's Up, we're just giving you lots of just radio time, get the experience in here.
You know it.
Boom.
This is the warm-up.
This is it. Yeah. We're going to say we knew her before she got famous.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Line up all of the media outlets when you have a movie release. That this is step one.
Yeah. You know,
it sounds like you're famous though.
Yes. Yeah. We're happy to have you. You're not happy to be here. No, you're going to be happy that you're on this one, but we're thrilled that you're joining us.
Well, first of all, thanks to all of you guys. Like, you all have day jobs, right? You didn't just say, hey, Jen, you know what? We got about a half day on our hands. We'd like to contribute. The fact that all of you spend time doing this is very meaningful to the sustainability of the industry and this group that I love to see at GIE. It's the next generation, right? They'll be there after we're gone.
Agreed. Yeah. We've built a good momentum. Yes. Yeah. No, there's still excitement this year. This is not all hopeless path, but this group has done for the young professionals and our focus on and the guests like you to bring some thought and conversation, and then to see each other and face to face in just a few short weeks, I think will be a nice wrap up of high engagement or more close to normal engagement that we used to have.
No doubt. I'm excited for it. And I'm looking forward to it because that's like where, I don't know, that's where I get the passion from. It's just like chatting with others and getting ideas and sharing ideas. It's cool. So yeah. And it's like funny, like that, but doing this podcast, you know, we're always talking with each other, but I just got feedback through through my dad from like another person that like listened to our podcast and they really liked it. And it's just like, it's cool. You know, people are listening. It's fun. So Beth, we're glad to have you on. So in the spirit of our podcast, we always love to go into the past and kind of talk about career paths, how you got to where you are. It seems like you've held a lot of leadership roles recently, and it seems like in the past like decade or so of your career. So how did you get there, and can you kind of help walk us through like kind of where your story starts? And
I was born in Indianapolis, and no, I won't go all the way that far back, but I've been a lifelong Hoosier, always lived in Indianapolis. And I went to college. My degree is in education. I was going to teach high school government. I loved US government. Back in the 80s, it was a different government. There were different politics. It was a good time to talk about the government. But what happened is, Miles, it turned out I didn't like kids. So in the old days, when you go to school to be a teacher, you didn't get to student teach till your senior year. So you show up your senior year, you've got 3.5 years behind you, and you go, oh, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be. They do it in reverse now. You get to student teach much earlier on, but I really did not enjoy it. And at the same time, I was working part-time for Kimlon, which you whippersnapper young professionals may not remember, but it really was the pioneer for chemical turf care as we know it. Turf and ornamental, the true green chemical turf care model. And so I loved it. I loved everything about the green industry. I loved the energy of it. I was in commercial sales for them. I was an office manager. I worked for their corporate center in Worthington, Ohio, working on a multitude of projects there. And when they were acquired by True Green in 1992, we started a little company called Emerald Green featuring Scott's products. We actually had the Scott's logo. Chuck Voiles, who was a former regional manager at Kimlon, and a gentleman named Mike Cannon. So we grew that to about 10 million. Scott's purchased it and began their version of DIY, the Scott's Lawn Service, doing it for the consumer, which they had tried before and not been that successful. So they began again in 1997. There were six of us that really started out there. Dana Irwin, Mark Long, Bill Hoops, some names that some of you know if you've been around for a while, Placa Planet. And we grew it to 500,000 customers. And they sold to True Green in 2016. So it was a very fun run. And Scott's had come to a point where they said, you know what, we're probably not going to. And so we'll just sell the lawn service division to them. Scott's then took those resources and started the Hawthorne Group, which is their hydroponics business, which serves the cannabis community, interestingly. In a different direction. And what's odd since that happened is there's still no number two lawn care company on the do it for you side. There's True Green, there's lots of really cool franchise groups, but no standout number two. It's kind of unnatural. So at that time, I went to Real Green, worked in the software world. I had used their product since 1997. Is amazing. I watched it grow so many businesses. And even though I was a lawn care gal, they took a chance on me and I got involved in software. And it was so much fun because if you'd been in the industry as long as I had, now you have the opportunity to leverage technology to solve interesting problems. Case in point, and I won't belabor this, but we would have an issue where a technician would pull up to a lawn and it would say, we've all experienced this. If you use any type of navigation tools, you have arrived. He would get out of the truck, go treat the lawn, put the flag in the lawn, leave the invoice, get back in the truck and realize, oh, Miles' house is actually over there. And I treated the wrong lawn. That's called chemical trespassing. And so I tapped into Real Green Resources and said, how can we alert a driver that he's in fact at the wrong location and really hone in on those GPS and tracking tools. And so we were able to solve problems like that in the green industry. And I've got 50 other instances like that, but that was really important for the sustainability of our business so that technicians actually show up and treat the right lawn. Because if they're not double, triple checking and they're not using a system that alerts them, they can make that mistake. So after 8 years at Real Green, I had an opportunity with Fishers, Indiana-based Advanced Turf Solutions. It's 5.2 miles from my house. It's still technology. It is technology in terms of equipment and products. So Steel Green is in our family of services. If you've ever seen their ride-on spreader sprayer equipment, it is phenomenal. And we have incredibly innovative products to serve the industry. So I don't really feel like I'm leaving technology. It's just a twist. I spoke at the Lawn and Landscape Technology Conference a couple of weeks ago, and I shared with Brian Horn and Dave Zai of Lawn and Landscape Magazine, the next time they have that event, because when you hear technology, and Miles, this is your bailiwick, by the way, bailiwick's my word of the day. You think of software, right? And those type of digital tools. And for me, a technology conference in the green industry should absolutely be about that, the software and hardware that drives the industry, but also new products, new equipment. When you start talking about drones and autonomous mowing and other autonomous pieces of equipment, I think those all fall under the innovation and technology. So it has been, I've been here a total of 4 weeks, so I know everything about everything. I've just began to wrap my head around what the new seed technologies are. And going into 2022, where there's urea shortages and labor shortages, we've had to be very creative in coaching our customers how to stretch labor. There are new extended release products that actually work better than they ever have. So if you don't have enough technicians to do 7 treatments, is there a fertilizer program that you could only apply 3 treatments? Types of coated seeds, because there's a seed shortage that allow for quicker and better germination. So those types of technologies are what consume my day now, and looking at bringing new products to the market. So it has been very, very fun, very exciting. And I get to still serve the same communities. I'll be at Landscapes. I'm gonna be talking about the membership economy. I'll be hosting Breakfast of Champions for NALP. We're gonna talk about how to bundle services if you wanna get up at 7 a.m. and have breakfast with me. So I've been able to have a long career in the industry, be in sales, service. I ran call centers, software, and now I'm back on the product side. So it is very exciting.
That's super cool. Actually, it sounds kind of like, it sounds very similar to my career path so far, even though I'm a little bit earlier on it. Because, you know, I grew up working for my dad and working for other landscaping industries and companies. And then now I'm in software doing the same thing. So I relate pretty heavily with like your side. So it's interesting how you transferred, really you transitioned from the service to product, right? It's a really, really cool career path to watch.
And Miles, as you know, once you get in software, and I was pretty successful in that, really just solving customer problems with software, I considered staying in the software industry. So I had opportunities to sell legal LMS, so a learning management system that lawyers could use. And I'm on like the third interview and I said, well, how do you sell it? And they're like, well, you'll go to this conference twice a year and law practice managers are there. And I looked at my LinkedIn portfolio of all my best friends in the green industry. And I thought, do I really want to start over in an industry? And I'm sure they're wonderful people. And I'm sure the lawyers that consume that product are wonderful, but you can't go an entire career in this industry and not take an opportunity like I had at Advanced Turf, because green industry people are very special, Miles.
No, I agree. I love all the people that interact with at conferences, and it's they're fun problems to solve, because there's not a lot, actually, to be honest, there's not a lot of people solving it relative to other industries, you know? So that's why it's fun to me, because there's a lot of good opportunity to create creative solutions. There's a lot that I want to talk about. I'm sure like everyone else wants to address some things too. But the first question I kind of want to get around is like, so I know you're 4 weeks into your new job, but you're talking about like hardware and product and capital equipment and that kind of technology, which I think is, you're spot on. It's not really talked about all that much in context with software, right? Software augments generally the product and hardware stuff, and all that stuff works together to create a cohesive system. What are you guys' thoughts about like what future platforms or that you guys are looking to integrate with like your current offerings, or like, is there stuff that you're really excited about looking towards the future, like for the products that you guys make?
I work very closely with Bob Mann at NALP, especially during 2020 when lawn care was not essential everywhere. And following that, along with a political regime change, there has been an influx of statutes and legal initiatives about the sustainability, chemical use, pesticide use, phosphates, fill in the blank every hot button we have in every state since January of 2021. So if you're on the product side, you really are working hard to find those true organic products that can deliver the results, because everyone wants organic, right? I've got a funny story. We were selling software to a big mosquito franchise, and all of the mosquito franchises, good on them, use the big real estate signs after they treat the lawn. This lawn protected by mosquito, fill in the blank. And one of the franchise owners was telling me that they also had an organic product. It was primarily a peppermint oil. And it would say this lawn is organically protected by this brand. And he said customers wanted the organic sign, but they wanted the real product because they knew they weren't going to get the same results. It's like saying if you had a child that had strep throat and you went to the pediatrician, if a vitamin would solve it, if vitamin C is going to take care of strep throat, I don't want amoxicillin. But guess what? We're all opting in for amoxicillin. And that's kind of the analogy I use in the organic space, in organic aeration, liquid aerations, in fertilization products. We are seeing tremendous gains, and Advanced Turf and our ENP partner, we're delivering those on a regular basis, and they really do work. Where we're not seeing progress yet, so for all the young professionals that really want to make a statement in this industry, bring me your organic herbicides. We can't kill weeds yet. From an organic perspective, but we're working very hard at Advanced Turf to continue bringing those type of products to market and serving the needs throughout the United States, however we can meet them. But sustainability has to be at the forefront of everyone's mind. Just that's the direction we're heading.
I'm curious to that thought of just that relationship between those that are creating these ideas to those that are going to be ultimately the end users. And the gap between, because you often hear the conversation that this industry, while they're really smart and innovative, there's a lot of people that just still say labor is the key to everything. You know, just work harder, we'll get there. What is that relationship from your perspective on dealing with those that are just saying, you know, I don't like new things, I don't like new technology. And ultimately, do you believe that this industry is really embracing this change at the pace of other industries, or are we unique in either way?
Interesting question. There, I should catalog the types of frequently asked questions I receive on a monthly basis. And in August and September, I probably get 100 phone calls about, Beth, what do you think should be our strategy for increasing price for next year, as well as maybe a prepaid discount? And annually, this is the time in our industry, if you're in maintenance or chemical turf care, you're making that decision. At Advanced Turf, we also serve the golf community. If they find out in March and April that urea prices don't correct and that costs are gonna be up here instead of down here where they budgeted, you can raise the price of a round of golf. In chemical turf care, when we send out those reminder letters, when we send out prepaid letters, and you know this well, Brett, because you're in the state of New York, the rest of us don't have to have signed contracts for that. But when we play that pricing card, or if you're sending a contract in New York, it's very difficult 6 months from now to say, yeah, actually, we got to raise it 10% more. And so as I'm talking to lawn care operators and landscape management companies, as they're forecasting into 2022, which will be a year of unprecedented margin compression, right? Because you've got labor, fuel could be $4 a gallon. And when I'm talking to them about using technologies like steel green ride-ons, when we can prove that you can treat lawns, residential lawns, go through a gate more quickly than if you've got a guy behind a normal spreader, you talk about the amount of time it takes someone to treat a lawn. You talk about the products they use, the extended release fertilizers. Can you really treat that lawn 7 times this year if we can provide you a fertilizer that'll do give you the same result with maybe 3 treatments. And then from a technology side, and Miles, you understand this, if you can get the mindset of the customer to pay you monthly, the membership economy, and I talk a lot about that, every other industry does it. $40 a month, I really don't care how many fertilizer treatments you're making. I'm stepping away from that old mindset of a transactional. Brett comes out, he treats the lawn, I expect results, and I'm going to pay him too. The new science and the new technologies can really provide results with fewer stops. Now you still got to watch the weeds, but the money, we're putting our money where our mouth is now. And so we are getting more attention from lawn care operators who want to hear more about these technologies because they know they're going to get pinched in the margin next year if they don't embrace them.
I mean, we've been a user of technology such as that, you know, the reduced fertilizer apps and changing the way we, you know, treat lawns and et cetera for probably 3 to 4 years now. And we went from a 4 to 5 step program to we do 2 times a year now and spot treat weeds throughout the season. And I mean, sure, Brett, to kind of what you were saying, you know, the hesitation of these other companies and things to utilizing it. I mean, we certainly went through a period of, you know, pain during that transition. It's something completely different than what we use. But I, you know, with what you're saying, Beth, I feel like we're already ahead of the game going into next year. Like we know how we're going to be able to combat, you know, trying to make less stops and increasing prices, fuel prices and things like that by embracing these technologies earlier.
And I've visited Mariani. I love Frank Mariani. He's one of my favorite people in the world. But you all do a brilliant job, Luke, of multiple services per stop. You have so many well-rounded technicians that can do many different things at one stop, and that certainly assists that.
Macy, I want to hear your perspective on all this because you're in Texas. So obviously, Luke's in more the Northeast Midwest, or I'm sorry, North. Midwest, what does it look like in Texas, like with embracing these tech, this technology, or have you not really thought about it yet?
We still sub a lot of that stuff out. Honestly, we try to focus purely on the commercial property. And there's so many large properties in Texas too. I mean, you have HOAs that are 100 acres, you have corporate campuses that are 25 to 50 acres. So when it comes to like turf applications and larger chemical processes, we're still kind of subbing that out and utilizing, you know, other people in the industry to help us out. So we can focus on the customer in detailing and, you know, getting the job mode, getting stuff installed for our customer.
Do you think that like you guys will start, because I'm sure like your subs view you as a good customer, because I mean, obviously Landcare is a presence. Do you think that you guys will have a future where you'll be dictating similar things what Beth is talking about, like sustainability and organics or some sort of standards? I'm using these as examples, but I mean, I know that you've taken on this branch manager role. I'm sure you have like a little microcosm of strategy and control in your world. Do you see a future where you'll be dictating to your subs those kind of standards so that way they can do that even though you guys aren't doing that work yourself?
Yeah, we definitely do. We've had properties already that are organic requirements. So we've worked with that with our subs using that stuff. They're definitely trying out the autonomous mowers and figuring out to help with the labor shortages. That's a huge reason Landcare is invested in an autonomous mower brand, because labor is such an issue. And with labor prices on the rise and the shortage of potential visas every year, it's the same issue every single year. They definitely made that, I think it was last year that they invested in an autonomous mower. So hopefully we'll see the progression of that. I know there's many brands that have started to do these autonomous mowers, but that's kind of the direction that Landcare is leading from sustainability, is the autonomous mower route. We also use products like TrimTech, using those types of products to help on holly hedges, stuff that, you know, grows very consistently throughout our season, utilizing those growth regulators to help with labor in our business. So that's kind of the autonomous mowers and TrimTech, I would say, is where we're seeing our teams pushing for sustainability and to see savings.
Well, and I think Beth made a very interesting point, or at least made it loud enough for the listeners that with fuel urea, right? I haven't been hearing about the urea, but that's just me doing not what we're supposed to be, where you get put your ear to the ground and start listening and being well networked to hear these pieces. So if these costs or process or systems are going to be a challenge into 2022, start thinking differently. And what are those savings? What are those opportunities to think and be creative? And so I think the biggest responsibilities we often have to remind ourselves, or even to, again, this our listeners, is you have to stay well in tune with what's going to affect your business. It's not just about what you're selling or how you're selling as much as you could sell. It's going to be that back end, all the things that, feel like a tax or just feel like just the normal strain of the world. And how are you going to adapt to those?
Yeah. And Brett, I wanted to address and maybe add some, hopefully Beth would agree with this, but addressing like how our industry adopts to change. And I think that our industry tends to lag behind a lot of other industries just because it feels like this is more of an anecdotal or more of an intuition, but it seems like, you know, generally situations dictate change. People don't really like change. And I think that even though labor has been an issue, this is like, now we're really hitting the crux, like where it's like a real issue, right? Generally, we have been able to get away with like filling in this technology needs, like with finding people and stuff. But now, like what Beth is saying, that now that we're seeing like margin compression, that's like where people start waking up and say like, okay, maybe it's time to embrace the change. Maybe it's time to actually adopt the technology. So it feels like it comes in waves from like what I've seen, what I've observed. It seems like, you know, it's just like one, like a lot of the people in our industry that say like talk about embracing change, but they don't. And then I also think there's another aspect too, that there's some interesting research, right? Like that the next generation of owners and leaders in our industry are like around the age of 35, right? So there's definitely like a very real, I don't know how to say it besides like aging out of current leadership and a young, robust leadership coming into our industry. And that's going to happen pretty fast over like, I would say the next decade or so. And you'll definitely, and that's probably going to also bring a lot of wave of adoption too, because that's an entirely new generation with a different thought process.
We're seeing that, Miles. Before I left Real Green, our customers who were lawn care operators who primarily serve residential, so it's B2C, they are the average age of those owners, especially our newer customers, were much younger, and they wanted our captivated text integration because they want to text with their customers. They don't want to mail them statements. They don't want to call them ahead. They want to text, and they wanted that integrated bi-directional texting because that's how they're serving the new consumer. And if you follow trends in this industry for residential, look at the real estate trends. Who is buying a house now? It's folks your age.
Yeah.
I think about what you said, Miles, in the context of like, what's the fear that prevents us? And then either people are so quick to jump into things and they didn't think about it. And then they're like, they lose the energy behind it and they didn't give it the true test. It didn't work. So we throw it away. I got some money, got some PPP money. Let me use it. And then it doesn't work. Or they're just too fearful because they don't have the education, the background to understand why it's going to be there. And so I think working with groups like yours, your company, Beth, and when they work with customers and that integration has been happening more, then we've been able to embrace these changes in technology where they're saying, here, use this piece of equipment, try it. We'll back you up with the support behind it. Right. Yeah. And we talked to autonomous mowing companies and they're saying, well, here's how we're going to help work with you. Instead of, again, here's something shiny and new, cool, go try it, good luck. So I think the industry as a whole has come together much tighter, at least through my world too. And I think Beth, the same, or you work hard to make that. So it's not just a sale. It's about, you know, success and seeing that long-term piece. So without that, without those relationships, you know, all this technology, things would just go, you know, away instantly, training of new softwares and such like. So I think suppliers and support companies have really embraced that and have worked a lot harder with, I think, contractors.
Miles, you mentioned that this industry is late to the game in some areas. We were very late to the game asking consumers to have a credit card. Go ahead and try to call a plumber an electrician to your house without giving them a credit card first. In chemical turf care, we still want to, you know what, when we're done, we'll send you a bill and you can pay us. Getting that credit card on file is paramount. And then customers want to pay you monthly, the membership economy. You can upsell better. It's just more digestible, but we've been very late to that game, even compared to the pest control industry.
Yeah, there's a, that's interesting that you say that, right? Because our industry is full of doers, right? And that's what makes it a cool, that's what it makes NLP cool to be a part of. Like, that's why I love going to events. That's why I love everybody that I meet, is because we're all doers. But when you have a whole bunch of doers that also, when you get like the new shiny toy or new shiny technology, sometimes that's not taken into a broader context of strategy, right? Like, how does this tool integrate with my other systems and tools to make it the most efficient? Whereas like you have like other industries that are thinking about that stuff. But I also think that that I've noticed with specifically with the landscaping industry more so, is that we're running pretty complex businesses, you know, like a lot of our, like Brett, you're running a construction business and a service business all in one, right? Like, so design build stuff is a totally different game than something as simple as, say, a service, which is like more in the lines of like pest control or plumbing or electrician. So it's a two different systems all in one. And so like, it's pretty interesting to see like how the landscaping industry is unique in that sense, like where you are doing some more complex project management type work, but also service all in one package. So,
well, I'll ask Macy and Luke, and I'm in the same boat. Like, when you have an idea or like you want to purchase something that maybe, you know, bring that innovation piece, what are the questions that you get asked? Because I imagine your organization, you're getting the right kind of questions, you know, but same here. I'm not looked very well in my company as the one that constantly says yes. They say, well, I'd like to buy this. Right. I want to buy this big mower, this technology. Like, okay, well, prove it. You know, I don't like the word why, but it is, what's it going to do? How is this going to improve? Where are you going to find the money? Instead of just, well, no. I read it. I want it. Just go. And so, you know, Macy, when you, or Luke, when you have to send things up because it's a good idea, what kind of questions do you get asked, which I think are the right kind of questions to be asking?
Love that question, Brett. I love it.
I think the biggest question that I get asked is, what's the return on investment? I mean, that's the very first. If you can at least prove the financials, you can have this story of how great it is or how you've seen somebody else use it. I think for a large corporate company, the return on investment is a big thing. We added in, I mow a lot of big turf. I have 6 properties that are over 25 acres just in my business. So we purchased a 96-inch mower. We purchased 2 this year, and they're not cheap. They're double the price of a 72-inch mower. And that's a big investment, but that's 2 mowers I can sit 2 employees on all day long. And I have enough turf that they're just mowing all day and they can get a lot more turf done. So figuring out that percentage, I don't remember off the top of my head what it was, but figuring out how much faster they can get stuff mowed with one pass versus what they could on the 72-inch mower. So that's an example kind of in our business, what we do. ROIs are huge.
Yeah. I would echo that. It's, you know, how's it going to help our company and improve what we're doing existing, and, you know, what's the return on investment going to be for us? So, I mean, they're with the new leadership that's coming up through Mariani right now, you know, as you know, some of the original guard is starting to get to the point of retirement and things like that. I mean, kind of like you were saying, Miles, we have younger people stepping into those leadership roles, and they're all about, you know, finding these new technologies, finding these new ways of doing things. But there's still that little bit of, you know, we're in that transition phase right now where you got to prove to some of the original people within the company that, okay, this is going to be good for us and this is how, and that's what they want to know.
And I had one thing to that, Brett. It's such a great question. And throughout the course of my career, if you look back on what were some of the big wins, they were big chances that I took. For instance, when I was at Scott's Miracle-Gro, I owned all of the collections team. So we would call you when you didn't pay us at 35 days and say, you're deadbeat, pay us. And there were 34 headcounts assigned to that. and I took it digital, and that was a big risk. But there's something unique about the green industry in that we are all willing to share. Look at the level of expertise we have on this call. Not every industry is like that. So if I'm Macy and I can do the math on this 96-inch mower, and that is a terrific story. But all of you who are in this young professional group need to obviously nurture these relationships, but reach out and be in as many groups as you can that NALP offers, because all of these folks are very willing to share. The only time I've seen an autonomous mower was when Frank Mariani said, come on up and waste a day of my guy's time. You can ride around with them. And that's where you get those real proof, a piece of proof that you can take back and say, okay, this is how it's working at Mariani. And by the way, when we were calculating the ROI on autonomous mowing, day one at Mariani, there was not a positive profitability story. Because it's Mariani, they've managed to make that happen. But reach out to those in this network, because they're very willing to share their successes or the pitfalls where you might be going down that path.
Well, Beth, to just take that a step further, I mean, when all of us are winning, you know, and sharing with one another and talking with one another, everybody's going to win. And what's it going to do for our industry? It's just going to make our industry that much better. And we're going to grow and, you know, get out of some of these, pitfalls, I guess, that Miles has kind of talked about, where we lag behind in many other industries. So.
Well, it's just in the language is important in that. And so, hey, it worked for Mariani. Doesn't always assume it's going to work for me. So you take the numbers that you use, that you've learned, and that's the network. If you share that, right? Macy, your story is literally the story that we're debating here now. A 96-inch mower. Holy cow, these things are cool. But should we got an opportunity to get on some work. And so, and the statement is, well, I feel like we can make this be better. Like, well, I like the word feel thing too, but that's not enough. I need to know, how's the route going to change and what's the utilization hours going to be and all these elements. And so either you are the one proposing this or you're the one having to sort of manage that cost. And I think we have all sorts of listeners. It's just, there's a responsibility, and it will come down to that ROI and the practicality and sustainability of it. So in 3 years, I don't ever want to see a 96-inch mower parked here in my lot ever, right? That thing better not. Well, no, we didn't need it today. Oh my God, I'm going to go nuts, right? And so those kind of pieces. And now there's tons of that out there, right? And so everybody's dying to get you to say, try this, try that. And it's just deciphering through those pieces, and just stay focused, where everyone's going to head to GIE and kind of walk up and down the aisle. And there's going to be three GPS companies, three mowing companies, three this and that. And you're like, well, which one's the right? And so it's being focused and being able to really count through that, rather than just, oh man, this looks good, I want this.
Well, Brett, you said it right there, staying focused. I mean, like you said, there's going to be all these shiny pennies out there and shiny ideas that you can buy and go with and do. But if it's, you know, taking you off course of where you want your business to go and how you want to grow, I mean, is that a good utilization of your time and investment and things like that?
What questions would you be thinking that we should be asking more of, be it into, you know, materials or equipment or service?
Who was the question for, Brett?
Oh, yeah, you. Yeah. I thought you were really thinking about that one long. Like, let me give a profound statement. Here it comes.
So the question was, what kind of questions should we be asking about materials?
Yeah, I based on this conversation, would you offer any other thoughts that are maybe just from, I think, on the other side of the table? Y'all need to be asking this if you want a steel green, you know, spreader or these technologies.
I loved what Macy suggested about the growth regulators. When I was at Scotts Miracle-Gro from 97 to 2013, we had Primo growth regulator and some other ones, and they were okay. The growth regulator that are on the market today, both for ornamental and for turf, are phenomenal. So if you think back to, if I could just get the grass to stay green but not grow, well, you actually can. And now you can equate real dollars to that. The extended release products, the to your point, Brett, if you don't have the number of acres that Macy has, you don't need a 96 inch, but right sizing your business with the available technologies that are out there. And this isn't a commercial for landscapes at GIE, but it is a commercial for landscapes. NALP has some of the best content when you want to go ask those questions. And now is the season to do that. One of the coolest events they have every year are the field trips. And this year, I think it was to Rupert. They've gone to Mariani before. They've gone to, I can see the guy in Dayton, Ohio, his name.
Marty Grundy.
Thank you. Don't tell Marty. I couldn't think of his name.
Sorry, he listens to his podcast.
Events are amazing because you show up on site and there's something about looking around a warehouse and saying, oh, there's those 96 inch mowers you talked about. There's two of those. Here's the hybrid. Reaching out and there's so many folks who will invite you into their facility in this industry. Plan your own field trips as well.
Yeah, I'll come on down to Texas and I'll show you. We can each take a 96 around. Just drive it around the yard.
That damn heat. I'm going to stay inside and look at some software. That's hot down there, no?
It's 70 in the mornings right now. It gets up to 90 in the afternoon, but it's
okay. Woof. Morning. Oh, wow. Morning service. I see this. Yeah.
Brett's lack of AC right now must be, must be catching up to him.
I feel like I'm in Texas right now in this non-air conditioned office. All right.
Beth, so it sounds like your kind of answer to like what question should we be asking is really just based around what size your organization is and where you, I guess also like what maturity your organization is at, right? So somebody who's like a new startup is going to be asking different questions than somebody who's been around for a while. And like all three, you know, Brett, Luke, Macy, y'all are from pretty mature organizations at this point. So you're asking like the ROI questions, whereas new startups might not be asking that.
The other question I would ask, Miles, is do you want your business to serve residential or do you want your business to serve commercial? Because Macy's answers will be much different than the way True Green would handle it or those that are doing lots of small residential properties. So that's, in 30 years in the industry, I've seen both sides of that business ebb and flow, but you kind of have to make that decision. And then you also have to evaluate what you're doing with marketing. In Dallas, Texas, Macy, where are you at in Texas?
I cover everything from downtown Dallas up to Frisco and McKinney. So I'm in East Dallas and we have a West Dallas branch or Fort Worth branch.
And I don't know why this is, but when I was at Scott's, we were in 42 different states. Dallas, Texas has more backyards with fences and gates than anywhere else in the United States. Like across a $50,000 house to a $10 million house, for whatever reason, they have that. And so, you know where you're marketing to, where do you want to grow toward? And that's going to drive some of your product and equipment requirements as well.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's like all these questions end up like revolving around like what we've talked about many times already in the past is about like what your vision is, what your 3 to 5 year strategy is, and how actually important that is versus like getting down to the weeds and knowing where all these decisions are wrapping and rolling up to. So it's pretty cool.
Well, it says the importance of peer-to-peer benchmarking so that you can match up to those that are in similar segments or size. Because we all go and we'll all listen to what the largest of the companies are doing and be like, that is amazing. I want that. The resources are different. The cash is different. The thinking and, you know, when you have chief investment officers or chief technology officers, like those are just roles that are get to think a lot different than some of us at, you know, at different local levels or regional levels. And so it is to Beth's point, be very clear about who you are. And as soon as you get there, that this job gets so damn easy. And we aren't there. I continue to struggle. Well, should we do this? Should we not? Should we work with that person or not? What segments are we supposed to be in our markets? And if I know if we just had that figured out and if the rest of us in this company were aligned with that, then we're off to the races, right? We know exactly what we're looking for.
You just made a statement, Brett, about know who you are. Where I have seen good-sized, growing, innovative companies get taken off course is, let's say they're in residential lawn care, then they offer mosquito, which makes total sense. And then that goes so well, they say, we should do indoor pest. Now you're going inside the house. That's a different business model. Oh, we're already inside the house. We should have a mowing service and a deck cleaning. And when they try to put too many verticals into one business and they're not methodical, ABC in Texas is the exception. The Jenkins brothers, they've been working on it a very long time to perfect that model. But I see others try to take in too many verticals too fast. And I've seen them get off course that way. So know who you are and be very methodical when you add the next vertical.
Agreed. There's good examples of all of that across our industry, right? Like they're doing an amazing, but put it through the filter yourself. Just say, like the interior business, I think we looked at that like, well, that's great winter work that we can cross over. And then we're like, and then all of a sudden we're like, well, we're not gonna be that good at that. Never mind.
Yeah.
Interior people are special. It's amazing.
It's a whole different thing. Yeah.
But think about this, guys. We've got all these young professionals listening to us today. We, the collective we in the green industry, could make a huge dent in the pest control industry if we could perfect perimeter pest control. I live in Indianapolis. I don't need an indoor pest company. Dallas, Florida, maybe you still do. But if you really figure out that service model, the perimeter pest control around the foundation of a home, who really wants to invite the Orkin guy in? No, not a slam on Orkin, any guy into their house to bring pesticides into the house, into the kitchen, into the nursery. We have a tremendous opportunity to make a dent in that industry.
Well, it doesn't it go that ingenuity and creativity and the next coolest thing can come from the contractor, right? I mean, I think from tools and ideas, and it's just somebody saying, I've got to figure the solution. So, right, it's an open call. If you think you've got the good idea, run with it, talk to the right people and build on that, right? And so it doesn't always have to come from the manufacturer, the vendor supply. That's somebody's been, I get on all these little, like that disc that covers over top of the string trimmer head. Someone thought that one through and it seems to be something I want to try. And so it's just, you may be onto something, build and get excited about it. Talk to the right people.
Mm-hmm. And that's not too far outside your ballywood. Like you're already licensed because you're treating insects in the turf. So in most states, you can go ahead and do that perimeter pest control. And we've seen it be very effective.
Cool ideas.
It's getting excited.
I know it's like we can like have another like a half an hour and 45 minutes just talking about this stuff. It's cool.
And Beth, just get to landscapes, right? And this is where the conversation can be really damn exciting. And
And we get to see each other in person.
Miles, like you said, the agenda is phenomenal, but don't you learn just as much in the lobby or the bar when you're hanging out with someone and they're telling you about their cool new business idea?
That's where you look. Definitely the bar.
The bowling alley.
Yeah.
Less retained at those moments, but yeah, really great. Good ideas.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm just in the classrooms when I'm there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he heard his boss is hearing this one. He's like, I'm going to say that.
we'll cover. No problem. Cool. All right. So we're wrapping up here. Let's go into Rose and Thorn. Beth, I'm not sure if you're familiar or not, but Rose and Thorn is a segment that we do at the end of every podcast where we talk about what's going on well in our lives, personally, professionally, and maybe like what's not going so well, which is like the thorn, but you don't have to have a thorn if you don't want to, but it's just good to give insight into like what's going on professionally or personally in our lives. So we just do a round robin. So who wants to kick us off?
I'll start.
Cool.
Yes, go Beth.
New job, coolest job in the world. Love it. Decided to sell my house very randomly. Actually, I just bought another house. So much fun. Coming out of 2020 where you just felt like, are we even going to survive this? And now there's all these cool things. It's football season. I love football season. My bucket list is to go to every NFL stadium. So feel free to invite me to your stadium. I'll buy your ticket. But in selling my house, I have to have it clean every day. And I get text messages at work. Hey, there's a showing in 45 minutes. And I'm thinking, did somebody take the dog out? It's a hassle selling your house. But it's all for the greater good. And 2021 is a fantastic year, and our industry has done so well.
Doesn't it only take like 10 minutes to sell a house now, right now?
So I hope just, so.
That's it.
It goes so fast. From the buyer side, it's so fast.
Good.
So. How about you, Macy?
My rose is that I got a call before this call, and we have a mainline leak on a property, but a construction company was out there. They're the ones that broke it, and they're going to fix it, already confirmed with the client. And so I am so excited that I'm not fixing a mainline on a Friday before a weekend that I'm traveling. And then my thorn is that I found out yesterday that my H2B workers are leaving a week earlier than what I thought. And so they're going to be very missed. And every week that they leave earlier is a chance that they're just gone longer. So hoping that we get them back next year, but definitely a thorn to see them go earlier than what we thought.
Wow. Yeah, those are big thorns. And no real thorn, Ben, just on a good excitement of school year back, a little bit back to normal. I think it's been a reoccurring theme, and on the road with peer group events and networking events, or that travel is back in my life. And I really appreciate that. It's been very helpful for me professionally and personally get to see some friends. Been an exciting couple weeks. We're onboarding or going out to a large project tomorrow, just, you know, mid-season pickup. And so we're going to do like the military exercise of execution and try to really get that thing framed in well. So I'm excited to be a part of that. So going into, and snow's coming. I think I out of obligation, I must say I'm excited about snow, because if I say it, I will act it, and I actually might do something about it. And so I'm just going to start say really Beth's positivity today is just intoxicating. So I am going to stay with that theme. Snow is coming, and I'm excited.
And snow equals money.
Oh wait, money given to somebody or given to both. I think we pay it and we get it. Right. You're right. Yeah. But I'm going to think of that. We'll get it. Good point.
So I can go next. Rose, a couple of them, just been running some numbers lately. And this year we brought an additional enhancement crew up to kind of the territory that I manage. Years past, I've always just done them kind of supplementally with my maintenance crews, and we're already on track and probably going to beat the number we did by $200,000-$300,000 last year, which is awesome. Actually, while we were on this call, got a text from another team member that we have already hit our sales goal for the year. And so we've got still a handful of big, big projects coming through that going to be fantastic. So that's all good stuff.
You can be able to deliver this year.
What's that?
You're going to be able to deliver and recognize that this year.
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I think so. So, Thorn, you know, Beth mentioned football, which is good, but then that means fantasy football, and just is very frustrating every week watching the games and, you know, losing or thinking you're going to lose. So, it's only been 1 week, and I'm already ready to give up on it this year.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I've given up on fantasy football this year. I was just like, you know what? I'm a Giants fan, so I have enough like to deal with just watching the Giants every Sunday. I'm going to watch them tonight. I'm going to be disappointed. You know, it's going to be a disaster, and I've just come to accept that. So, I mean, I guess I'm putting my thorn first, but yeah, NFL football has not been fun for me for the past couple years being a Giants fan. So, but some roses for me. I picked up running in the past like month and a half or so. It's been, well, maybe 2 months and it's been really rewarding. I never realized how much of a system running actually is. And like, if you follow and are consistent, it's quite rewarding. I've learned a lot of life lessons through it, actually, and applying those lessons to like my day-to-day work, which is cool. Other roses, I mean, being on this podcast is awesome. You know, I really enjoyed today. Thanks for coming on, Beth. It's a lot of fun. Really engaging. So so all good things, you know. Really excited for this coming winter and seeing like what it brings. So excited for landscapes too.
I get interviewed on a lot of these. You all are like professionals. I feel like I'm on ESPN Sports Center here.
Sports Center. We like to keep it fun, you know. Like, I mean, like, what's
that one? But yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to, you know, talk about our contracts then for this. That's the case.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got to talk to my agent. After that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think we covered a single topic on our sheet this week. We basically started with the first question and it kind of just held steady. Yeah. But it was good. It was a great conversation.
All the value got peppered in there.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, we just had to have Beth on again. I mean,
that's what we'll do.
Yeah, I guess so.
You have the best chance of being, because we have not had a reoccurring guest yet. So that is what you have to reach for, Beth. And you're going to be very famous on your podcast. And so we'll get you.
Then maybe we'll be your guest.
That'd be fun. We'll do that.
I like it.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody, thanks again, Beth, for joining us on Growing in the Green Industry. Thank you all for hosting, and a big thank you to our listeners. Thank you for listening week in, week out. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, share with your friends, family. It means a lot, and we like to see the audience grow and hopefully gain value from what we talk about here with like great people like Beth on our podcast. So everybody, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and take care.
Take care, everyone.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.